Welcome to the third episode of the Indie Author Showcase. I'm multi-award-winning author Chad Robert Morgan.
The boy, they were not big ones.
They were awards.
Lies.
They were awards.
Oh, wait, no, they were. Sorry.
They were.
I thought you'd be like, oh my god, they are big.
I never said they were major awards. I just said they were awards. Leave me alone.
No.
And we are here, what were we talking about? We are here at the Indie Author Showcase. So the purpose of the podcast is to showcase indie authors who are, like ourselves, just trying to get noticed. There are a whole bunch of us, and we met a whole bunch of them where? We're there?
What?
We met a whole bunch of them at WonderCon this year in Anaheim.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, I forgot. I forgot about WonderCon. Hey, could you please inform me on what that is?
Well, I think most people did forget about WonderCon this year. You know, we actually had a really good WonderCon. We had what they call a small press table. So the whole back area was small press, a lot of indie authors like ourselves. And, you know, we basically broke even. When we're doing conventions like this, we're usually not doing it to make a profit. We're basically just want to pay for itself. We want to pay for the booth. We want to pay for the books we sell.
Well, one of us is trying to...
Okay, one of us is trying to make money.
That would be me.
Yeah, you spend all your money on buying stuff at the other vendors for your friends and...
And buy my friend the $26 Hello Kitty gaming glasses. I think that's important, okay?
Very important.
Yes.
Yeah, that was crucial.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was more looking for the cosplayer.
That's me.
So... Despite the fact that we did pretty good this year at WonderCon, I mean, we basically broke even, which, again, when we're doing these conventions, is the goal. You're trying to make some cash. I'm basically just want to pay for the next one so I can keep doing this. I can't really afford to do it at a loss. It's too optimistic to think that I'm going to make a profit. I'm just looking to break even. That's all I want to do at these things. And at WonderCon, we broke even. Right, we paid for the booth, we paid for the books that we sold. We sold one of our glow-in-the-dark 3D Mononogals, and we sold about 3 t-shirts. So, don't sell a lot of t-shirts, but when we do, the people really enjoy them. So, t-shirts, like, fun. Feel free to buy it at our store at, what's that store?
Spectral Ink.
JobSpectralInk.com.
A little bit of context, I'm not wearing one of the shorts. I'm a trader.
No, you're actually wearing a shirt that we saw at from a vendor at Creep IE, which is actually an important thing. So speaking of conventions, speaking of Creep IE, this year we just got into Creep IE Aftermath. So our convention schedule is we are going to do Monsterpalooza at the end of May, May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd. Then about 2 months later in September, we are going to do HorrorCon, right? Do you remember HorrorCon?
Sadly.
Yes. I can't say it was a bad con because we had like one really good sale and that put us in the black right there, right? So, but it was very, very slow. Apparently it was booked exactly opposite or the same weekend as a Halloween cast reunion in Pasadena. So everybody was going to that instead.
Yep, because...
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, bad. Really boring. I think I fell asleep at one point, like at the convention.
When are you ever awake? Moving on.
Oopsie daisy.
Moving on. So, sleepy boy. The Indie Author Showcase, your cure for insomnia. Now, so the reason I am going back there is a couple of reasons, right? So this is only the third year they're doing it. The first year, we did not go. We did not know it existed. But everybody was saying how off the hook the con was. They were selling out. They were doing business like crazy. it was extremely successful the first year. We went the second year. Or not so much.
I don't want to talk about it. It was the experience.
It was a very boring 3 days. Yeah.
It was a very sleepy 3 days for me. I played a lot of Dragon Ball Z Dokkan Battle on my mobile device. I played a lot of that.
There wasn't much else to do. But we did meet a few other indie authors like ourselves. And the reason I decided to give it another shot is because, one, the first one was so successful that, you know, maybe it was a fluke. Second, HorrorCon is fairly inexpensive to get into. I mean, as far as booth fees go, they're way cheaper than Monsterpalooza. They're way cheaper than, I mean, they're a fraction of the cost of like San Diego Comic-Con, right? Very, very cheap. Third, and this was something that our friend Chris Williams was bringing up. So every one of these conventions, I talk to people and I get the exact same story. Dude, convention A is awesome. These people work with me and they're so friendly and they're so well organized. It's so fantastic. But convention B, I can't get those motherfuckers to talk to me. Doesn't matter what convention A is and what convention B is, it's always the same story. What it is that they're so overbooked. You know, there's a waiting list to get in, right? Once you're in, they will invite you back for the next year, right? It's that initial getting in that is impossible. So, may not be that big of a con now, but what if it blows up and comes like the next horror version of Comic-Con, right? We're on the ground floor and it grows up, gets bigger, gets badder. We're in. If we quit and try to get in later when it's popular, we might be on a 5-year waiting list like we are with something like Midsummer Scream, right? So I'm going to give it another shot, see how it goes. Just going to keep rolling with it. I mean, if we start taking losses, then we can't continue to try it out, right? Patience is one thing, but my wallet is another, right? But first one was supposedly very, very good. Second one might have just been the misfortune of bad scheduling. So we're going to give it another shot. Turn to me.
To me, yeah.
Now, so real quick, a recap, our convention schedule for the year. May 31st, June 1st, June 2nd, Pasadena. That's going to be Monsterpalooza. We're going to have a full booth there. We're going to not only have our books, but we're also going to have our big 3D printed monsters. Definitely want to check us out there. In September in Los Angeles, it's going to be HorrorCon. Followed the next week in Ontario with Creep.ie Aftermath. Then in October, we will be in, I believe it's in Burbank. Burbank or Pasadena for Son of Monsterpalooza? I think it's Burbank. So we'll double check on that one. But yeah, so that's four conventions. Four conventions.
Yay! Yay! I love life. I love being alive.
Thank you for your optimism. And that was after a very successful WonderCon. Which, getting back to the WonderCon, everybody was saying how dead WonderCon was. Yeah, they were saying this was dead. That this was a very slow con.
Huh.
Yeah. Seemed pretty busy enough for me. Well, not quite at that. But the small press table is only like 350, so I mean it was we did good. And we were fairly busy. So but WonderCon had a 1-2 punch. One, it was raining all weekend.
Yay.
And two, that was Easter Sunday. So WonderCon landed on Easter weekend. So between the two of those, they're saying that not as many people was coming to WonderCon as normal, which is a shame because your mother and I went to the previous WonderCon to kind of scope it out to see if it was doing, see how busy it was, that kind of thing. And they had small press tables and we met some indie authors. In fact, that's where we first met Megan Haskell, whose book we reviewed last week. But the number of indie authors that were there at WonderCon this year, off the hook. Huge. Back in that area, the previous year, half that area was taken off by this big giant Funko Pop thing.
I don't get Funko Pops. I don't understand the Funko Pops. I'm going to be honest. I don't get them.
So, but,
I would never understand Funko Pops.
Well, Funko Pop wasn't there. I mean, they might have been, I think they were somewhere else in the con, but they weren't back where we were. That was all small press tape. Right? And one of the things that I tried to do when I was at one was I was trying to point. Actually, before we talk about that, let me get to that. But before that, I wanted to talk about this one parent that looking at and kind of brought up something that we talked about in our first episode. Remember this guy? Yeah. What was your first impression when he was started asking about that?
What?
He comes up with his kid, right? Remember? And one of the, we're doing our pitch, we're telling about the books, and he says, do you have any LGBTQ characters?
Right. I remember. Yep.
What was your first thought about that?
When I heard him say that?
Yeah.
When someone says,
are there any LGBTQ characters in this book? I'm like, oh God, does he hate the gays?
That's kind of what I was thinking at the time, right?
Yeah, my first reaction was, oh my God, this guy hates gay people.
Yeah. But then we started talking to him, and one of the things he was saying was, just because your character is gay in your book doesn't make him a character.
So basically what we said last time in the first week.
Exactly. So I think the impression I got, and I didn't want to get too personal with his business and everything like that, but the impression I got was his child was LGBTQ, and he was not wanting add LGBTQ representation in the books. It wasn't that he didn't want LGBTQ representation in the book. He didn't want bad ones. You know, he didn't want the, you know, some stereotypical, you know, gay guy that is a two-dimensional character and his whole character is being the token gay guy.
Whole character is, I like boys and I am a boy.
Which again is a topic we covered in our very first podcast, that and it's not just LGBTQ, it's race as well, or pretty much any kind of, you know, ethnicity or what do you call it? You got ethnicity, sexuality, gender, whatever. You don't want the token whatever. Right, you don't want the token black guy, or you don't want the token gay. You don't want to use ethnicity or sexuality or gender as a shortcut to making a character. Having a character that's gay is fine, but that doesn't excuse you from actually developing him into a third or three-dimensional character. And that was the gist I got from that father that we were talking about. So my hope, my desire is that when the next book comes out, which will have LGBTQ character or characters into it, there's definitely, I'm hoping that they come up as characters that are gay instead of some token gay character.
Hoorah, speaking well, the white man.
Well, I mean, it was the same thing we did when I was working on The Baby Eater, right? I spent a lot of time and effort working with your mother, working with basically all your family in, on the other side of the Pacific, trying to make sure that I got their culture and their nationality properly represented. You know, I did not want to do, you know, kind of a surface level coding like But when you're working with somebody else's culture and heritage, feelings or whatever, you want to make it as genuine, respectful of the material. You can't just simply say, this character is Native American, so I'm just going to, you know, put a feather in his hat and run with it. It's like, no, you got to actually. And that was actually the mistake I made in the first book with The Last Rite, because I started with a character, and it was this cool idea. We're going to make him Native. Okay, great, and everything like that. But I hadn't really done research until I was already working on it. Then I kind of had to kind of rework it back in and everything like that. And I hadn't approached that as thoroughly as I feel I should have. And if I had to do it again, I would have gone to different museums. I would have tried to meet people of various tribes in the area. Because Native Americans are actually very different depending on where they are at. You know, you can't just say Native American and expect them all to be homogeneous, right? Cherokees are very different than Navajo, very different than Blackfoot, very, you know, the tribes in the Pacific Northwest are very different than the coast. You know, you just can't everybody look like Pocahontas. Away with it. That's not realistic, and that's not being respectful to the culture that you represent in the book. So anyway, that's a long way of saying that basically the guy seemed to have been echoing the very same thing that we were saying in the first one, which your characters have got to be authentic. You can't just slap stereotypical characteristic on him, like, you know, this is the black guy, Athner, this is the gay guy, that as shorthand. It's just not going to work. And so, getting back to WonderCon.
Oh, I was going to segue.
Well, actually, I was working on this. Hey, have you ever written this? Oh, I want to try one. I've never ridden one. Well, you can go down just segways over at the San Diego Walnut. Last time I was, because that was like.
Can't wait to be go myself.
I've never ridden one. Anyway, getting back to segways. So, what I tried to do at WonderCon was act like a traffic cop. Right, so on our table we had our two franchises. We had Intergalactic Space Force, and we had The Last Rite, which is all of our horror stuff. And not everybody's into horror, right? Not everybody's into raunchy sci-fi comedies. So I would sit there and say, "What's your genre of choice? What do you like to read?" Somebody said, "I like fantasy." The dude right next to us was doing fantasy, so we sent him next door to talk to Todd. We're going to be reviewing his book in a couple of weeks. If they liked romance, we had several people that were doing romance. That's one person that was doing kind of more of a anime-style fantasy romance. We had another person that was doing like mythological adventure romance. We had a third person that was doing supernatural romance. And then we had the people way at the end that was basically just doing porn.
Yep.
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 Yeah. 50 Shades of Grey, right?
Oh, no. 50 Shades of Grey was tame compared to the stuff they were doing. I think half the books they had on there was about Futanari. Chicks with dicks. Anyway. To put it bluntly.
Okay. I've looked. Oh, okay. I have to. Okay, I asked my friend what it was one time, and he didn't specify. All he told me about that, he like really enjoyed it.
Oh, okay, that's a little disturbing right there.
Yeah, I know. Like the life views have changed. I think I need to go think.
Get back. So one person came up to us, and guy by the name of Julian David Stone. That's his name?
Yes.
Julian David Stone. Yeah. He came up to us. Now, we had met him at Monsterpalooza, and he was also there at WonderCon, and he's like, dude, I had so many people tell me that you had sent them my way. That has made a world of difference. Thank you. So at least one person it paid off for. He was very appreciative. And we would send him down if anybody was like, I'm not into fantasy or anything. I'm more into nonfiction. And that's why we sent him down to him, because he was still writing fiction, but it was what they call historical fiction. You know what that is?
Yes.
Right. And for those who don't know,
historical fiction, it's like the truth. A little different.
So yes, it is based on true events, but it's a fictionalized tale of those true events. I'm trying to remember the book right now, but there's another one that was very famous of the Donner Party. So obviously the Donner Party is something that actually happened, but in this story, they did not simply get stranded and starve and resort to cannibalism. They were actually attacked by zombies. Or Wendigos. I think they were Wendigos. Anyway. But the idea is, obviously, took true events and fictionalize them. So, in his book, It's Alive.
Oh. Right. I forgot I was dumbing to do it.
This is actually a fictionalized account of the creation of the movie Frankenstein, right? And I thought this book was really interesting. Okay, now I'm not one for historical fiction in general. I'm not one for historical fiction in general, but I really enjoyed this. In fact, I had to ask him at WonderCon. I said, is this really a true story, or, you know, how much of it are you making up? And he said, no, it's historical fiction. He says, obviously, you know, Bela Lugosi was a real person. Boris Karloff was a real person. All these people are real players, and he pulled as many facts as he could. But from there, he made up the story to connect the facts that he knew. And he says, you know, who really knows what happened behind the scenes, right?
Probably the actors who are in it, like the real life people. I know.
If I don't think any of them.
But they knew.
True. But, I mean, unless they left, you know, detailed diaries or something like that, we'll never know, right? But this reads as a dramatization of real history. Like, I could believe that he had like somebody's diary and knew every single detail that was happening, right? It felt that authentic. Now, again, he said it's a work of fiction. So saying that actually, but you could definitely believe it. I thought it was very fascinating, like the office politics, because one of the main themes in here is they had just gotten off making Dracula, which made Bela Lugosi a movie star. And beginning of the book is they're going to start shooting in like a week, and they haven't cast for the monster because Bela Lugosi doesn't want the part. And so there's a lot of back and forth going with Bela Lugosi trying to convince him. Then there's like, maybe we need to cast somebody else. Who else have we got? Well, we've got this Karloff guy, but he's busy with another shoot. How are we going to work with that? And so just all these cogs in the wheel having to merge together. And again, you know Boris Karloff is going to get the role because Boris Karloff got the role. You know what I mean? I mean, unless this is some alternate future or alternate history where we're totally changing what happened. So we know how the movie's going to end. We're just trying to figure out how we get there. And a lot of the office politics and palace intrigue and all that kind of stuff. But it was very, very fascinating. And again, it I don't know how much of it might act. What did you think about the book?
I thought it was really good, personally. One thing that put me off, nothing with the book itself. No, the audiobook. Okay. A little bit of context. In the audiobook, it's read by someone who I think it's on purpose, a very like gravelly voice. Like, how would you describe, like, poor mic audio is how I make it sound like.
He had a kind of a deep monotone, which initially I agreed with you. When I first started listening to it, I was like, oh my.
And the mic quality is pretty low.
I have a problem with the mic.
I think the mic quality.
I thought the audiobook was, in terms of the quality, I didn't have a problem with it. When I first heard the narrator, my first thought was like you, like but he actually kind of grew on me after a while. So yeah, initially I didn't like him either, but by about maybe a third of the way through, he had sold me. I had gotten used to him. I was going with it. I thought it was well read. I would just put that out there with the audiobook. Give it a few chapters, let it roll with it. It took me a while to get used to the narrator. Once I did, he had started to enjoy it a lot. That's just my opinion on it. But I totally hear you. When I first heard it, I was like, because that's one of the worst things that you can have in an audiobook. Narrator. Because remember, when you're in an audiobook, the narrator can make a world of difference, right? A narrator can actually make a bad book sound good and can totally tank a good book, right? Like, one of the best audiobook series was the Harry Potter series. Right? Because I know nobody likes J.K. Rowling anymore because, like, he's turned into a grumpy old woman.
Hey. I don't even dislike J.K. Rowling. Like, I know she's like a grumpy old person. I don't care. I just don't like Harry Potter.
You used to love Harry Potter.
Yeah, when I was in elementary school who had less than 2 brain cells.
Okay.
There's no reason. You know what? What do you want from me?
We're just going to drop that right there.
I'm going to drop that point, actually. Because I don't... Okay. Harry Potter is low-key... Okay. I've gotten to many arguments with this.
Okay.
Once with my math teacher, who has like a bunch of like Harry Potter stuff, right? Harry Potter is low-key lame. Am I wrong?
I really thought Harry Potter was brilliant until somebody pointed out the major plot hole in the fourth. And that sort of ruined the rest of it for me.
I don't even think past that. Incredibly lame.
I don't think so. I think it was very well written, and the books mature as you go on through the series.
I get that. I just think it's lame.
But book 4 has this massive plot hole that totally blew up the entire book for me. And it ruined it for me. But getting back to the audiobook, the audiobooks are narrated by Tim Dale. Masterful job of narrating these books. Every character has its own voice. He maintains the voices over the course of all 7 books. So, you know, the voice he has for McGonagall in book 1 is the same voice he has for McGonagall in book 7, right? This voice he has for Hagrid in book 1 is the same voice he has for Hagrid in 7. And it's just a phenomenal performance by him, carried across 7 complete books. Absolutely one of the best audiobooks experiences I think there is. Absolutely fantastic. Contrast that, and I don't want to mention the book by name because I don't want to slam other books. The purpose of this podcast is to bring authors up, not push them down, right? So I don't want to slam somebody. But there was an independent author. He was promoting his stuff. I got one of his books, and I tried very hard to listen to the audiobook. I very, very, very tried hard. But the narrator had the same inflection for every sentence, regardless sentence. And when the other people were going to fight, and then the sword swing cut off the arm, it was the same inflection as when they were making breakfast in the morning.
And then I went and got a nice cup of joe before someone said, "Alex, your mother has collapsed." "What? Your mother has collapsed? That's crazy."
You think this podcast is cure for insomnia? I swear to God. I mean, it was... Do you remember the books? We tried to listen to it, and all of us were just like, our eyes were bleeding.
No, I don't.
You don't remember this one? Oh, I'll bring it back up and remind you.
God.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you won't even get through the first chapter, man. After about three paragraphs, you'll hear the same cadence over and over. I mean, it's like a song by William Shatner.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, at least Shatner changes his cadence, man. I mean, does it in the wrong place, but he changes it up, you know? This was the same. Killed it for me. I have no idea if that's a good book or not. Because I couldn't get through the audiobook. I was like, I'm out.
I could do something evil and choose that for one of all the podcast episodes and make you listen to it.
Oh, my God. But I don't want to kick somebody when they're down. I don't want to just make rosy reviews and tell, you know, all these books are fantastic and everything like that, because then it's not authentic. But I also don't want to kick somebody when they're down. I do believe in the Mel Brooks principle. What's the Mel Brooks principle?
If you don't like something... dude, I don't know the Mel Brooks. I know Mel.
If you like what you hear, tell everyone about it. If you don't, keep your big mouth shut.
Do it. Do it. Just give me time.
So, yeah, I don't want to kick somebody when they're down. Now, last week we reviewed Megan Haskell, and we reviewed Aetherbound, and we actually had a split decision. You actually had a tough time getting into the... I enjoyed it.
Time.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Keep going.
No, go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
I choose... to not say it.
Point being is we gave an honest review. I enjoyed it. You had a problem when it actually left the real world and went into the supernatural other world, the fantasy world.
Kooky Crazy Fishland.
Kooky Crazy Fishland. You did not like Kooky Crazy Fishland. Okay? But that's a fair review, right? I liked it. You had an issue with it. There you go, right? I don't want to take books that are written by people that are really, really trying to do a good job and are just really, really bad at it and just slaughter them. I mean, that's not the point of this podcast. We want honest reviews, but also want positive reviews. You know what I mean? So, and again, going back to the Aetherbound example, we had a mixed opinion on it. I think that's fine, and I think that's authentic, but, you know, if we both hated it, if we both thought it was horrible, I probably would not have put it on the podcast. Because, again, the goal isn't to just shit on people, right? Just the opposite.
We could do that, except it's like a really old book we just...
We should do it to one of my books. We should actually...
Oh, I hate those!
Thank you. Let's say that a little louder on the podcast right now, dude.
I hate those!
You don't hate my book.
I don't.
Dude, do you really... Dude, don't fuck with me now. You're just... Oh, you're fucking with me now, aren't you? Better be fucking with me. Those... Remember, I pay for your college... There's no water in there. Give me my soda back. What are you doing?
Anyways, with that point, we were actually about a little while overall to extend the time. So I think it's about time we you know, cut this short, you know.
All right.
On that note, yeah.
So let's wrap it up. So getting back to the book review, It's Alive, right? Julian David Stone, 2 thumbs up for us.
Yeah.
Not that we do that kind of thing. We're not doing thumbs up, but we both enjoyed the book. We are the Indie Author Podcast. So how can you support the podcast? Well, the first thing you can do is listen to the podcast. That's the first thing you can do. Second thing you can do is the Mel Brooks Principle. If you like it, tell everyone you know. If you don't, we're Pod Save America.
And if you have a third way, there's a third way actually. Email us to get my Venmo. And give me money directly.
No. But you could also buy one of our books. Now, again, we have 2 different series, 2 different franchises. We have Intergalactic Space Force, like the Space Force, but more bigly. If you want a little bit of South Park in your Star Trek or a little bit of Star Trek in your South Park, where are the books for you? Right? Which is going to be even more important because guess what I heard the other day?
What?
Lower Decks is ending after season 5.
Oh.
So we're no longer going to have Lower Decks. So if you're like, well, I wanted some Star Trek with some raunchy comedy in it, and now Lower Decks is gone.
Hit us up, woo-woo.
Speaking of which, I know, another tangent. So, WonderCon, we met some fans of Space Team. You remember Space Team?
Yes, I love Space
Team. Space Team is fucking awesome. The only bad thing about Space Team is the dude stopped writing Space Team. Right? He was actually making more money as J.D. Kirk writing crime fiction. So he dropped it. Which is amazing because the guy was like writing like 4 books a year. It's amazing. He was just churning these things out. But Space Team is a very satirical, funny, kind of more Star Wars in space, right? Because there's a group of guys, they're on the one ship, they're on the run. Basically, any kind of sci-fi trope that you can come up with, even the titles were plays on Star Trek tropes. Like, one of them was, I think the third book was The Search for Splurt, which was one of the characters. Yes. I got.
Hold on.
The Wrath of Bejazzled, I think, was one of them.
Yep. Space. What are some of these?
And then there was the Dead Man spinoff series on top of that. So, fantastic series of books. We actually met a fan of his, and we started bonding over our love of a Space Team. And I said, you know what? In the absence of Space Team, try Intergalactic Space Force. It might be up your alley.
The Tone of the Dead Guy. Planet of the...
Oh, yeah, Planet of the Japes.
The Time Titan of Tomorrow.
So, yeah, totally recommend Barry J. Hutchinson and the Space Team and Dan Deadman series. But, yeah, we met a fan of theirs. We pitched them Intergalactic Space Force, and I hope to God that they enjoy it. Not quite as good as Space Team, and definitely not kicking them out nearly as quickly as he was writing Space Team. But hopefully they'll like it. Our other franchise is The Last Rite, where we have our 2 adult books. We have The Last Rite, followed by the multi-award-winning novel, The Baby Eater, which takes place in
Philippines.
The Philippines. For no particular reason.
I'm half Filipino. So I mentioned that. My mom's Filipino.
We also have our first entry in the young adult, which we talked about in the last podcast, which is our Short Bite series.
Yep.
So that's 5 books to choose from. Pick any one of those. You can find them at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Audible, iTunes.
Our website.
You know, exactly. You can go directly to shopspectralinc.com where you can buy any of these books. You can find links to where you can find these books. You can buy the t-shirts, such as our Silhouette Man t-shirt. We have pillows, we have blankets, we have coffee mugs, we have all kinds of merch.
Robot controlled dildos.
Not that. We do not have robot-controlled dildos. I do hope this is the last time I heard my 16-year-old son say robot-controlled dildos.
Oh, well, now I'm just going to say it more.
Oh, God. Please, CPS, do not be listening to this podcast.
CPS, save me.
Mm-hmm.
Save me.
The other thing you can do, and this is true of any of the authors in our podcast, if you like any of the books we talk about, ours included, or if, you know, Julian Stone's novel, It's Alive, sounds interesting to you, or any of the ones from our previous episodes, buy the book, read it, review it, share it. That is the best thing you can do to support any of the indie authors in this podcast.
Please. Pretty please. Please, that'd be really nice.
And with that, this is this episode of the Indie Author Podcast. Join us next week where we're going to talk about Paul Wilson's Bad Karma.
Bad Karma.
See, now we need some intro music.
No.